Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's trivia questions come to us from the website onthisday.com and the New Yorker magazine. Question number one. It was on this very day back in 1968 that Reginald Dwight decided to change his name to what? Hint. He's still performing today under his new name and is known by the nickname Rocket Man. Reginald Dwight. What is his stage name anyway? And question number two. The correct lyrics from the Swedish rock pop group ABBA's 1976 hit Dancing Queen are "See that girl, watch that scene, digging the dancing queen." But it is most frequently misheard as what? Is it A, tease that girl, watch her squirm, zinging the dancing queen? Or is it B, please don't hurl, watch that scene, fleeing the dancing queen? Or is it C, see that girl, watch her scream, kicking the dancing queen? Or finally, is it D, how do you solve a problem like Maria? So which of those is the most common mishearing of ABBA's lyrics? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of May the 6th. Well, it was on this very day back in 1833 that composer Johannes Brahms was born. And 7 years later on this same day, back in 1840, that composer Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky was born. Brahms and Tchaikovsky's birthday today. And it was 27 years ago today, 1995, that James Taylor and Natalie Cole received honorary degrees at Berklee College of Music's 50th anniversary commencement, 1995, today. And in country and bluegrass music news, we have this article titled, Naomi Judd, Country Music Matriarch of the Judd, is Dead at 76. This is published in NPR.org on the 30th of April, 2022, by Hazel Sills. Judd's daughters, country singer Winona and actress Ashley Judd, confirmed the artist's death in a statement on Saturday. Today, we sisters experienced a tragedy. We lost our beautiful mother to the disease of mental illness, they wrote in a statement. We are shattered. We are navigating profound grief and know that as we loved her, she was loved by her public. We are in unknown territory. As a member of the Judds with her daughter Winona, Naomi Judd recorded and performed as one of the most successful mother-daughter acts in country music before the group stopped reporting in the early 1990s. The Judds' hits included 1984's Mama, He's Crazy, which won the group their first Grammy Award, 1985's Grandpa, Tell Me About the Good Old Days, and 1990's Love Can Build a Bridge. Last year, the Judds were announced as inductees into the Country Music Hall of Fame and were set to be inducted on Sunday. The group had also recently announced a final tour set to begin in September. "The fans have always been my family of choice," Judd said in a statement announcing the tour. "I love them dearly, so I'm chomping at the bit to belt out our hits and reconnect with them once again." Naomi Judd was born Diana Ellen Judd on January the 11th, 1946, in Ashland, Kentucky, and gave birth to Winona the week of her high school graduation. She moved to Los Angeles in the late 1960s. The New York Times reported in a 1984 profile at the beginning of the Judd's rise, where she worked as a model and a secretary before moving Winona and her other daughter Ashley back to Kentucky. It was then she and Winona began singing together casually. "I think it was a natural progression of Mom hearing my voice and humming along," Winona Judd told NPR Scott Simon in 2010. "All of a sudden, before I know what's going on, she has attracted herself vocally to me, and it's as if we're one voice." The family moved to Nashville, Tennessee in 1979, and Naomi and Winona pursued a music career. "We moved into a motel, and all of us slept in the same bed and ate bologna and crackers," Judd said in a 2017 interview with the Wall Street Journal. Judd and her daughter eventually signed a deal with RCA Records and in 1984 released their debut EP, Winona and Naomi. With their strong mother-daughter bond, striking red hair, and harmonizing vocals, the Judds quickly rose to fame in country music. The group would go on to release six studio albums between 1984 and 1991, earning 20 top 10 hits, 5 Grammy Awards, and 9 Country Music Association Awards. The Judds ceased performing in the 1990s after Naomi Judd was diagnosed with hepatitis C and Winona pursued a solo career. "The doctors all said that I was going to die in 3 years, and that was in 1990, Judd told NPR in 2010. "I told them I wasn't going to kick the bucket. I'm feeling very healthy and alive and radiant." The duo continued to reunite and perform occasionally in the years after, including most recently at the 2022 CMT Awards, where they performed Love Can Build a Bridge. In later years, when not reuniting with her daughter to perform, Naomi Judd began to write and publish self-help and children's books, including her memoir, River of Time, My Descent into Depression, and How I Emerged with Hope. And in classical music news, we have this article entitled, "Musicians Are Playing Their Instruments While Upside Down, Because Why Not?" 16th of September 2020 article in ClassicFM.com by Sheon Moore. "It's not the music making their hearts beat faster, just the blood rushing to their heads. Playing an instrument standing upright is so 2019, it seems. 2020 is the year that people are turning this tradition on its head, literally. While balanced precariously on her shoulders in a headstand position, legs stretched high into the air, one violinist decided to play her instrument upside down. And somehow, Nora Kay managed to make it seem pretty effortless as she performed some Irish fiddle. Another musician also decided to take on the challenge. Cellist and aerialist Molly gave a more unusual performance of Bach while hanging completely upside down, suspended by ropes. No cellos were harmed in the making of this movie, she reassured in the Instagram's post caption. As cool as looks, it's probably not the best idea to take on this challenge if you're not experienced in upside-down activities. We can't imagine any pianist giving this a go. Stormy Monday introduces our jazz and blues music news. It's entitled, How the Late Jazz Great Charles Mingus is Being Remembered 100 Years Later. This is published in NPR.org on the 21st of April, 2022, by Tom Vitale. Charles Mingus is one of the greatest jazz artists of the 20th century. He would have celebrated his 100th birthday on April 22nd. Charles Mingus is one of our most important thinkers and composers, says Wynton Marsalis, who will lead two concerts in honor of the composer at Lincoln Center. He touched on many of the foundations of jazz and American music, from the roots to the most sophisticated forms. A Lonely Childhood. Born to mixed-race parents in Nogales, Arizona, Mingus grew up in Los Angeles. His mother died when he was only 4 months old. In a 1962 interview, Mingus notes he was light-skinned. He didn't fit in with the black, white, or Mexican kids at school. He played the trombone, then the cello, but switched to bass when he was 16 because at that time it was impossible for a black man to find work playing classical music. In the interview, he said his father, who was an army sergeant, never loved him. I never had any idea or father image, he said. Anything that was something wrong, he knocked it down, you know. I never felt any love in my family. I had no one to say, what am I supposed to be like? He never even told me the world like it was. He never said anything about black or white. He never told me anything. Mingus's upbringing shaped his music. He was an outspoken advocate for civil rights, using his music to make political statements. His 1959 song, Fables of Faubus, was written as a protest against Arkansas Governor Orville Faubus, who sent out the National Guard to prevent the integration of Little Rock Central High School by 9 black teenagers. The Angry Man of Jazz. Mingus drew on traditions that range from ragtime to the avant-garde, and his compositions expressed an equally broad range of emotion. In 1962, he told his record producer, Nahusi Ertegun, that the reason his music was always changing was that he was always changing. I can play a sad thing. You recognize it because you're used to that. I can play an angry tune. Grrr. I can play happy little ditties like I do with my baby, you know. It's all kinds of emotions to play in music, but what am I trying to play is very difficult because I'm trying to play the truth of what I am. Mingus had a well-known temper, nicknamed the Angry Man of Jazz, on the bandstand. He demanded perfection. He fired sidemen in the middle of a gig. Wynton Marsalis says Mingus's music, with its shifting forms and varied time signatures, is difficult to play, but it should be played because the music and the message are important. Mingus had a lofty vision of the future, he said. He just always wanted our world and our country to live up to the promises of equality that our country was one of the first to actually lay down and mean it for the majority of the people. And we still struggle with it because it's not easy to believe in other people's freedom. Charles Mingus suffered from Lou Gehrig's disease in the 1970s. He died at the age of 56 in 1979. His ashes were scattered in the Ganges River. In New York this weekend, the Charles Mingus Centennial Celebration will take place at Jazz at Lincoln Center, which says that it will blend swinging hard bop, Afro-Latin grooves, and deeply felt blues. And in rock and pop music news, we have this article titled, "A Stanford Psychologist Says He's Cracked the Code of One-Hit Wonders. What Separates Blind Melon from Shania Twain?" This is written by Derek Thompson, published in The Atlantic on the 17th of April, 2022. In September 1992, the band Blind Melon released their self-titled debut album. The record was mostly ignored until a music video for the song No Rain, featuring a girl in glasses dressed as a bumblebee, went berserk on MTV. The song rocketed up the Billboard Hot 100 charts, but that was the last time the band ever struck gold. 2 decades later, Rolling Stone named No Rain one of the biggest one-hit wonders of all time. Soon after Blind Melon topped the charts, another artist had a breakout moment. Shania Twain released her second album, The Woman in Me, which included the number one hit, Any Man of Mine. Whatever the polar opposite of one-hit wonder is, that's what Shania Twain turned out to be. She became one of the most consistent hitmakers of her era, and the only female artist ever with 3 straight albums certified diamond, meaning more than 10 million copies sold. For decades, psychologists have puzzled over the ingredients of creative popularity by studying music, because the medium offers literally millions of data points. Is the thing that separates one-hit wonders from consistent hitmakers luck or talent or some complex combination of factors? Well, I did my best to summarize their work in my book, Hitmakers. This month, the Stanford psychologist Justin Berg published a new paper on the topic and argued that the secret to creative success just happens to hinge on the difference between No Rain and Shania Twain. Berg compiled a data set of more than 3 million songs released from 1959 to 2010 and pulled out the biggest hits. He used an algorithm developed by the company EchoNest to measure the song's sonic features, including key, tempo, and danceability. This allowed him to quantify how similar a given hit is to the contemporary popular music landscape, which he calls novelty, and the musical diversity of an artist's body of work called variety. Novelty is a double-edged sword, Berg told me. Being very different from the mainstream is really, really bad for your likelihood of initially making a hit when you're not well-known. But once you have a hit, novelty suddenly becomes a huge asset that is likely to sustain your success. Mass audiences are drawn to what is familiar, but they become loyal to what's consistently distinct. Blind Melon's No Rain, rated extremely low on novelty in Berg's research, dreamy guitar-driven soft rock, wasn't exactly innovative in 1992. According to Berg, this was the sort of song that was likely to become a one-hit wonder. It rose to fame because of a quirky music video, not because the song itself stood out for its uniqueness. After that hit, the band struggled to distinguish their sound from everything else that was going on in music. By contrast, Twain's breakout hit rated high on novelty in Berg's research. She was pioneering a new pop-country crossover genre that was bold for her time, but would later inspire a generation of artists like Taylor Swift. The article skips down and ends with this. The research suggests three rules of thumb that may come in handy for creative work. First, extremely new ideas are unlikely to initially find a large audience, but if they break through, artists and entrepreneurs may find that uniqueness is an asset, the same way that Twain's country pop hybrid style switched from a burden to a benefit after her first hit. Second, early career exploration can pay dividends in the long run. This is as true of the broader labor force as it is in music. A 2014 study of young workers found that people who switch jobs more frequently early in their careers tend to have higher incomes in their prime working years. Third, the difference between one-hit wonders and hitmakers isn't just novelty, it is also focus, or what Berg calls relatedness. Hot streaks require creative people to mine deeply when they find something that works for them.
Skyline photo, skyscrapers shine the sun so low in the sky. The secretaries at the hot dog vendors, cabs honk at the bicycle messengers.
And in local quote unquote music news, we have this article entitled Wordle Spinoff Hurdle. Stats revealed. Here are the 10 best countries. This is written by Matt Gardner, published in Forbes.com on the 22nd of April, 2022. Wordle might be slowly easing its arresting grip on humanity, but its spin-offs still continue to satisfy those with their own specific cultural itch that needs scratching. Soccer fans have Who Are Ya? Quartle is four times the fun. Crosswordle is a masochist's dream. However, one of the original and best descendants of the New York Times' own puzzle masterpiece is just as popular as ever. Song guessing game Hurdle continues to tickle the earbuds of music fans around the world, allowing players to guess a song based on increasingly long snippets of its introduction. It may be a much more binary experience than the constantly evolving Wordle, but like its inspiration, simplicity is its greatest strength. But which country is the best at Hurdle? Top of the pile, perhaps unsurprisingly, is Ireland, a 1.76 average guesses. As home to bands including U2, the Pogues, the Cranberries, Thin Lizzy, and 90s classic Boyzone and Westlife, it certainly got a musical pedigree. The Emerald Isle is also the most successful country to compete at the infamous Eurovision Song Contest, which is about ready to kick off next week, by the way. Winning the event a table-topping seven times, a truly deserving champion of Hurdle. The U.S. comes in eighth place, but it dominates the top 10 best cities at Hurdle, with four entries: Nashville, Austin, Atlanta, and Charlotte, North Carolina. So Google Wordle or Heardle to start your free daily dose of cerebral hygiene. So how'd you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, it was on this very day back in 1968 that Reginald Dwight decided to change his name to what? Hint, he's still performing today under this new name and is known by his nickname Rocket Man. So who is it? Correct answer, Elton John. His nickname Rocket Man, by the way, is the title of one of his biggest hits. Other Elton John hits include Daniel, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, Candle in the Wind, Crocodile Rock, and Tiny Dancer, among many others. And the answer to our second question? The correct lyrics from the Swedish rock-pop group ABBA's 1976 hit, Dancing Queen, are See that girl, watch that scene, digging the dancing queen. But it is most frequently misheard as what? Is it A, Tease that girl. Watch her squirm, zinging the dancing queen. Or is it B? Please don't hurl. Watch that scene, fleeing the dancing queen. Or is it C? See that girl. Watch her scream, kicking the dancing queen. Or finally, is it D? How do you solve a problem like Maria? Correct answer? According to an article in the New Yorker, the ABBA lyrics are misheard as answer C. See that girl, watch her scream, kicking the dancing queen. Go figure. It is interesting to note that ABBA got their start as winners of the Eurovision Song Contest back in 1974. That contest is still ongoing and is now in its 66th year. The 2022 competition starts on May the 10th and runs through May the 14th. ABBA were the first ever Swedish winners of the contest, but they've proved pretty successful since then with five further Eurovision wins in 1974, 1991, 1999, 2012, and most recently, 2015. That New Yorker article, by the way, also lists these commonly misheard lyrics. I want to hold your ham. Of course, that's from the Beatles, I Want to Hold Your Hand. But a lot of people heard that as I Want to Hold Your Ham for some reason. Then there's Sweet Dreams Are Made of Cheese. Well, that's from the Eurythmics, Sweet Dreams Are Made of This. And then there's finally Saving His Life from This Warm Sausage Tea. The correct version is Spare Him His Life from This Monstrosity. That's from Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody. So let's close out today's program with Your Song by Reginald Dwight, who's better known today as Elton John.
And you can tell everybody this is your song. It may be quite simple, but now that it's done, I hope you don't mind. I hope you don't mind that I put down the words. How wonderful life is while you're in the world.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program's also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time.